We're going to be in Genesis chapter 3 this morning. Genesis chapter 3. Turn there with me if you will. We're going to be in verses 8 through 10, Lord willing. That's the plan anyway. Genesis chapter 3. You're very familiar with the passage. This is the episode where Eve and Adam together disobeyed God and ate the fruit of the forbidden tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Their eyes were opened in verse 7. They made the fig leaves to cover their nakedness in verse 7. And then this. Verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, oftentimes when we preach a passage of Scripture like this, we like to give it an outline of something that progresses through the text that preaches along a theme that helps you to be able to remember the text by the outline. Sometimes people preach the outline and you don't remember the text, all you remember is the outline. And today we will go through the text. We will expound the text, but not superimpose an outline over the text, because there are quite a few things about what you just read that need to be discussed. And we'll just discuss them as you read them for yourself in the text. But I will let you know that the subject of our sermon today, the theme of this passage that we're discussing today is this simply: hiding from the presence of the Lord. Hiding from the presence of the Lord. Notice here in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God. They heard the voice of the Lord God. You know, all around us in this earth, everywhere that men are, the voice of the Lord God can be heard. I know we say, particularly when we're emphasizing missions, sending people to places where people have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that statement would be true, but the voice of the Lord God is heard everywhere. There's no place where the voice of the Lord is not heard. I want to give you an example. Don't leave this place because we're going to preach this text, but I do want you to go to Psalm 19 and look at this thing about the voice of the Lord. Psalm 19, verse 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 19, verses 1, 2, and 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth, what's the next word? Speech. And night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where there, what's the next word? Voice is not heard. And they make a declaration. There is a voice of the Lord in those things that are created in the heavens and in the firmament that is above your head. Now here in the United States, where you can read, where you have modern conveniences to the extent that we do, and very few people are in what we call an agrarian society, even those people who farm commercially, large operations with big equipment help and things like that. But in areas where people spend a lot of time outdoors to live, they see things going on up above their head and pay attention to things going on up above their head more so than you do. You might take the lunar phases into consideration if you're a hunter or a fisherman, or if you plant a garden and you want root vegetables to be planted at a certain time and others like tomatoes that grow above the ground to be planted at a certain time. But for the most part, you're not listening to the message of the heavens above your head. But they are there to speak. I won't ask you to turn to this passage, but I'll read it for you. About the voice, we're talking about hiding from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says the invisible things of Him. This is Romans 1:20. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, listen, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You can see it. You can see those invisible things of God, and you can hear the voice of God in the firmament and in the declaration of the heavens. He put them there, among other things, for that purpose. That's why Paul could confidently say, when he was talking about faith in the words of God, he said these things in Romans 10:17 and 18. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Everywhere men are, there is the voice of the Lord present. The presence of the Lord. God's everywhere. In Psalm 139, when the psalmist is talking about wanting to, but you know, possibly hide from God, he said, it doesn't make any difference where I go. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to the sea, you're there. If I go to the othermost part of the, excuse me, the world, you're there. If I go to hell, you're there. There's no place I can go that I can get away from the presence of the Lord. And His presence is known wherever you are and wherever people are by His voice. And they heard the voice of the Lord God. And evidence of Him is all in creation. You know, it's a real disservice to kids to say, okay, we're going to take out the Ten Commandments, but we're also going to take out the story of creation when we teach you in school. And the reason I say it is because, except in certain places, they hear that they evolved. And so there's a stripping away of evidence of God and God's creation in the things that He made. They heard the voice of the Lord God. And notice back here in verse 8 again, in Genesis 3:8, they heard the voice of the Lord God. So He's there. May I tell you something? He's here. He's in the parking lot. He's in the neighborhood next door. He's in your neighborhood. He's at your office. He's everywhere. He's here. The presence of the... They heard the voice of the Lord God. Notice next He says, walking in the garden. In other words, they heard God in the place where they were. His voice they hear, and they hear Him walking in the garden, and so it lets them know that He is there among them. May I tell you something? God comes to where you are. We talk about sending the gospel where they are, and there's all that's true, but God comes to where you are. You're here in church today, and you cannot help but hear His words. You're hearing them now. I mean, you could put stoppers in your ears, and you could totally distract yourself, and you'll miss most of what I'm saying, but you won't miss it all. And you certainly know who we're talking about, and you know what we're talking about. You can't get away with that, not here. But I'll tell you something, God doesn't just only talk to you when you come to church. God talks to you when you're out there as well. Again, I'd like you to look at another passage of Scripture, please. Look in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, this is the testimony of wisdom. God's wisdom. The testimony of wisdom. Personified. Wisdom is speaking here like a person. Like somebody that you could see and talk to. That's certainly there to talk to you. Listen, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her, help me with the next word please, voice. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors, unto you, O men, I call. And my, next word please, voice is to the sons of man. Do you understand? Wisdom is everywhere. Top of the high places, in the places of the paths, at the gates, at the entry of the city, and the coming in at the doors, and calling unto men with a voice. So Adam and Eve have sinned and disobeyed God. They are now aware of their nakedness in a way that they had not been before. So they have covered themselves in fig leaves, and all of a sudden now they are hearing the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. He's coming to them. And it's, you know, the one of those, oh my God, what am I going to do moments, right? And he's there walking. God will speak to you, really, out there, not only here today, and he's certainly speaking to us now, but out there where you are. And get your attention about things with his words. Look again in our text here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Watch it. In the cool of the day. There is something significant about that. In the cool of the day. Morning or late evening. The way it used to be in our country, and the way it still is in others, that morning is a time of coming out of sleep and a time of stillness. And then you go to work. The sun is up now and you see, so you go to work and do the labor that men do in the daytime. Psalms tells us that nocturnal animals do their work at night and men do their work in the daytime. And then in the cool of the day, in the evening, things settle back down. There's supper, there's a time of rest, and then you go to bed. Wake up to do it again the next day. Years ago, we had a missions conference and Pastor Ron Ralph came and preached. We were in that building over there. And he preached excerpts from a book called Henry and the Great Society. And basically, the little theme of the story is to keep life simple. Henry was out in the farm and his family was out in the farm. They had those mornings that were the cool of the day, and particularly the evening where they had a swing hanging from the limb of a big oak tree, and the family would gather there and sort of talk over the day and spend the last moments of sunlight in that cool time of day before that was their wind down. They'd go to bed and start their work early the next day. God says to us in the Bible, be still and know that I am God. There should be a time where things stop and that you're still. We are designed that way. God set it up that way with day and night, but men have totally polluted the nighttime with light, and shift work goes all day, 24 hours a day, refineries and hospitals and mills and every other kind of thing. So there's very, for most people now, there's not that time of the cool of the day so much. But in a time when you should be still, the world has ramped up activity in the city where the voice of the Lord is present but drowned out by the din of commerce. That's why, another reason why people sometimes when they get sick start really thinking more about God and their eternity. I mean, they know that death is more imminent now, but they're also still. That's why preaching at a funeral service can be so very valuable for people to hear about the need of their own salvation and the destination in eternity, because they're still for a moment. And it's quiet, very quiet. But men and men have tried their best to drown out the voice of the Lord with all the noise. But I'll tell you something, you'll hear when you're still. You'll hear when you're still. I'll never forget, I've mentioned it many times, I suppose, in my life. I'll mention it again in different episodes and aspects of it. But in September of 1986, when I realized that if I'm going to be teaching Sunday school, and I was in a Methodist church, I should be reading the Bible, and I wasn't. I told the Lord, I'll just read wherever it falls open. And that night, I opened it to Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. But I want you to know something. At midnight in my house on a Saturday night in September of 1986, I heard the voice of the Lord. I was still, I was quiet, and he had much to say. I like to read biographies about certain things, many, many many piqued my interest, and I was reading the biography of a woman who grew up in church as a young lady, but with every other kind of temptation available, she strayed. She actually became a lesbian and had multiple partners and shut God completely out of her life. But one afternoon, she was sitting in bed preparing to take a little nap about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. As she heard this, "That girl's going to be the death of you." She startled and like, "Do what?" And she heard it again. Not audible. If you were there, you wouldn't have heard it. But she heard it. "That girl's going to be the death of you." And she believed, and rightly so, that God was trying to get her attention. And he did. And it's a wonderful story of how she goes to a church and finds a lady sitting in the middle of a pew about two-thirds of the way back, waiting for the service to begin. And somehow she was drawn to that lady and sat down next to her. And that lady was a very compassionate lady and didn't judge her for what she was doing. She realized this woman had come to church looking for God, so she encouraged that and befriended her. Well, eventually, this lady got saved. And God dealt with her about sin in general before he ever dealt with her about that sin of homosexuality, and corrected the problem with sin and salvation first, and then began to go to work on the things that were going on in her life. Today she's married and has children. But God, you know what God did? God talked to her in the cool of the day. Caught her at a moment that she was still. If you're listening, listen to me. If you're listening, you will hear the voice of the Lord walking where you are in the garden in the cool of the day. He talks to you through, of course, the Scripture, but he talks to you in a way that he has something he wants to say to you that you need to hear. But notice what Adam and Eve did. They heard the voice in verse 8 of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. So they knew by his voice that he was there. They knew that. Jeremy didn't know what I was preaching today. It's interesting that the last song we sang before this was "In the Garden." And so his presence is there because his voice is there. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, God. They did not want to have a conversation with the Lord at this time. They had been having conversations with the Lord. There are evidence of that already recorded in the Scripture, but at this time, they really didn't want to hear from God and have to talk to God. So I want to say this to you as a very important point here. Listen very, very carefully. If you have to hide to do what you're doing wrong. People are like, "I don't know whether it's right or wrong." No, if you have to hide to go do what you're fixing to do, then what you're fixing to do is wrong. Now, I'll tell you this. Once the conscience is defiled and once the conscience is seared, you'll put it on public display. But at the early stages, which is really where this was in the early stages, where we're really focusing our attention, I'm going to say it again. If you have to hide, you're going to the wrong place and you're doing the wrong thing. Lord, help them to remember what they just heard. Because you're going to get ready to do something where you have to hide, and you want these words that you just heard to come back to you to remind you you're fixing to do something you oughtn't to be doing. I think about the first time any of you here smoked a cigarette. Or God forbid, a cigar. That's probably the first and last. You hid. I'm just seeing if there's any head nod. Sometimes when I say that, you know, they'll kind of give me that little here like that. Okay, none of you ever smoked like that. The first time you took a drink of alcohol or used a drug, you were hiding from people that you didn't want to see you do what you were doing. You hide to commit sexual sin. You don't want others to know what you're doing. You hide to steal in the cover of darkness or the shadow or whatever. You hide to surf internet sites that you don't want other people to know you're surfing and delete your history so they don't know you've been there. You hide to watch something on television that you don't want your neighbors to know that you're watching by pulling the curtains extra tight just to make sure there's not a slit of light coming in. I know that we landed because nobody says a word. It gets real quiet here. In certain churches, when you land, they go, "Amen, preacher." Here, when you land, it just gets deadly quiet. If you have to hide to do what you're doing or go where you're going, you're doing the wrong thing. And they were doing the wrong thing. May I tell you something? You can hide from other people. They put on the fig leaves, and so obviously Eve could not see his nakedness, and he could not see her nakedness, and that took care of this. So you and I can hide from each other. We do all the time. But may I tell you something? You can't hide from the Lord. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro, right, throughout the earth, beholding the evil and the good. He sees it all. There's no place. They weren't hiding from God. Not really. They were, but it's kind of like the kid playing hide and seek with you when they're first learning the peepie game. You know that peepie game? You know, they do this and you do this and y'all go, "Peepie." You know, and it's all so cute and they laugh and all that. And they get just a little bit older and they go like this, "You can't see me. You can't see me." That's Adam and Eve. Keep your finger here and go to Hebrews 4. We're talking about the words of God. We're talking about the voice of the Lord, right? You know why you quit reading your Bible when you start doing wrong? You do that to hide from God. You know why you quit going to church when you start doing wrong? Because you're hiding from God. Trying to, anyway. Where the Word of God is preached, where the Word of God is written, and you don't want to hear the voice of the Lord. You don't want to have a confrontation with God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We're talking about the voice of the Lord, right? When he speaks with what? With words. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Jesus Christ was classic example of that. He read through everything the Pharisees were trying to do. But look at this in verse 13. "Neither is there any creature," that includes you and me, "neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." He sees it all. He sees it all. So they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. You can hide from other people, but may I tell you something? You can't hide from the Lord. You can't hide from the Lord. He knows it all. He sees it all. There's nothing. There's no place. There's no disguise. There's no way. And what's funny here, I mean, and also instructive, is where they hid. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. They heard the voice of the Lord, God, it's everywhere, walking in the garden. He comes where you are, in the cool of the day, when you're still, that's when you hear it. "And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord," at least they tried, "amongst the trees of the garden." Who made those? Who made the garden? Who made the earth? Who made Adam and Eve? So they're going to hide amongst the trees of the garden. Now, the interesting thing about what you're reading here is that in the Bible, men are commonly likened to trees. The rulers of countries are likened to cedars. The choice when they're trying to figure out, you know, who should rule over them, the olive tree is mentioned. And the fig tree is mentioned, and the vine tree is mentioned, and the bramble is mentioned. Trees. And that all of those are a reference to men. They're men as trees. As a matter of fact, you might remember there was a time when Jesus Christ healed a blind man by making a clay and anointing his eyes. And he opened his eyes and he said, I see men as trees walking. And then he, a little further, and then he could see clearly. I see men as trees walking. That's very instructive. You're like a forest. You're like a forest when we're all gathered together like this. Which is very informative. You say, in what regard? You can hide here among the trees. You can try to. There are a lot of people who prefer to go to bigger churches because they can easily fit into the crowd. They even a church this size, sometimes people come and they're not comfortable. They're more comfortable because the people on this side over here to my right don't even realize the people on the left side over here were in church. If you don't know each other and saw each other in the foyer, they'd be like, oh, were they here today? I'm sorry, I didn't see them. It's easy to hide in a crowd. You say, what's the point? Because when you're in church and preaching is going on like this, preaching, when the Spirit of God is working, singles you out. I've had so many people tell me over all the years, preacher, when you preached that message today, it was like you were preaching to me and nobody else. As a matter of fact, they would say this. I don't know why it is, but you kept looking at me the whole time. Well, you've watched me up here. My head's going around kind of like a bobble thing in the back of your car, you know, bobblehead. And there they go. But it doesn't feel that way to you. It feels like everybody else is gone and you have just now been stripped spiritually naked in front of the Lord and everything's coming your way. And it's kind of like, you know what? I'm not going back to that church. Why? Because I can't hide in the crowd. I'll tell you, and God can do what He wants to do, wherever He wants to do it, with whomever He wants to use. But it is easy to go to a church where there are a lot of people in the parking lot where you only have to go 1 hour a week and you don't get anything out of it, but that's okay. You didn't want to get anything out of it. You wanted to show up and do your little religious exercise and go home and just make sure that you and God didn't have to have a confrontation. And that's what they're trying to do in the trees here, is they're trying to get out without having to have a confrontation with God on this day. So right now, when I'm preaching and we have disclosed that you have been trying to hide from God and He smoked you out and you hadn't been hiding and you're beginning to get uncomfortable, now you can't get up and leave in the middle of the service because then everybody knows it was you. So you're stuck here. But the trouble is, God still, He's peaked. Well, Adam, there you are, my word. Sat down right next to you. And the Lord says here in verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam, and He said, where art thou? Okay, you already understand. God already knew. He didn't ask Adam that question because he was searching for his, as one preacher said, geographical location. He was searching for his spiritual condition. Yes. So, where are you today? Yeah, where are you today in your relationship with the Lord? God knew where he was. What he was trying to do and what he successfully did is he was trying to draw Adam out of hiding. And that's what he does with you when you come here. That's why when there's a really good message from time to time, and you know that God's come sit down around you and put His arm around your shoulder and thumping on your heart with the message, He wants to know where you are. He knows where you are, but He wants you to know. He's trying to draw you out of hiding because He doesn't want you to continue to do what you've been doing that you have to hide to do. God does not want you to continue doing what you have to hide to do. He wants to draw you out of that and draw you away from that and get you in a relationship with Him where next time He shows up and you hear His voice, you're drawn to Him rather than away from Him. It's a little bit like the game of hide and seek. Come out, wherever you are. God already knows, but it doesn't make any difference if you're hiding from a little something that may lead to more, or you're hiding from a big something and you're scared to death. Just come out of hiding. Just quit. Just come out of hiding. That's what He's trying to do, is draw you out. Do you know that an altar call draws you out of hiding? Our practice here has become that way, is to preach messages. People have said, Brother Welder, you're more of a teacher than you are a preacher. I'll grant you that. It doesn't mean that I can't preach my way out of a paper bag. It just means that I'm going to impart more to you in by way of knowledge than by way of conviction. There's some men, and they are all preacher. They get in, and I mean, they are like a Gatling gun, bullets going everywhere and people getting slain all over the place. They call for an altar and you're like, I'll come to the altar if you'll just quit talking. Bless God. But an altar call, you know what it does? I'll tell you what it does. It draws you out of the trees. You know, there are times when you've been here and God had your number. I mean, as soon as we turn to the Scripture, you're like, uh-oh. And we came to the conclusion, it was like, I don't know who sent you an email about me, but you just took it from the top to the bottom and just opened and exposed everything. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. I don't have anything to do with that at all. But then at the end of that message, the Lord gives you an opportunity to come forward and get it straight with Him. And bless God, I'm already bleeding in my pew. There ain't no way I'm going up there. Why? Because you're hoping to be able to hide from everybody else in town, so when you get outside, you can... Whew. An altar call calls you out of the trees. It does. Listen, when the Lord... You ought to think about this very seriously. When the Lord has delivered a message to you... Back in the day, I've told you this before, but I just want to repeat it here for those who haven't heard it. I used to think about what the congregation needed, and I'd already knew what they needed, and then I'd just try to find a verse of Scripture that lined up with what I was thinking, and I'd use that as the text and then tell you what I thought you needed to hear. And you know what, something? That's a terrible way to preach. That's a terrible way to preach, because this is not between you and me. And I don't know a tenth, maybe even 1% of what you really need. The Holy Spirit knows the whole program. What I learned to do, and thank God before it was a total disaster in the ministry, was to go find the text the Lord led me to, preach the message the Lord had in the text, and let Him do whatever He wanted to do, and apply it wherever He wanted to apply it, and accomplish whatever He wanted to accomplish. And man, that is so much better. It's not restricting, it's not personal, it's between you and God. I'm just the messenger of the deal. But I want to tell you something. When the Holy Spirit has delivered a message to you from the Scripture and He expects you to respond, He wants you to come out of hiding. He wants you to come to Him. And that little journey that you make from the pew to this altar is not so other people can see you. And it's not so the preacher can feel good and write to his buddies and say, oh boy, the altar was full today. I must still be sanctified by God. Has nothing to do with that. You know what it has to do with? It has to do solely with you telling God, I'm not going to hide in these trees anymore. I heard you, and I'm coming out of hiding. That's what it's about. Yep. Because my spiritual condition is going to change now. So they come out of hiding. You know, he could have tried to stay there, but when he says, where art thou, you understand God stops and there's probably a long period of silence. And then you hear Adam speaking and coming out. God drew him out of his hiding place. And when he came out, then Adam said in verse 10 to the Lord, I heard thy voice. I heard you. That's a testimony, an acknowledgement to God. I heard you, Lord. You know, when you're in your pew and you say, amen, you know what you're telling the Lord? I agree with that. I heard you. I got that. Message received. Thank you. It's kind of like the old acknowledgement, 10-4. Read you loud and clear. I heard thy voice. It's an admission. It's an admission of truth. It's an admission of recognition. It's an admission, yes, Lord, you're speaking to me. I got it. I hear you. I remember, again, reflecting back on September of 1986, I remember the midnight when I heard the voice of the Lord. And listen, nothing else around me mattered at the time. Nothing. I was totally consumed in a one-on-one audience with God Almighty. And that's what they're having right here. I heard thy voice, Lord. I heard you. One-on-one. I acknowledge. So I'll pass this along to you. Listen for God and listen to God. When? Right now. In your Bible reading. In your cool of the daytime. As he's talking. Listen for him and listen to him. Notice then in verse 10 that Adam goes on to say, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. You know, the Lord simply asked him a question, where are you? He could have just said, over here, right? But he didn't. It's like you coming home after you've told your child, whatever you do, don't go to the lake. Yes, sir. And you come home from work, you say, where'd you go today? I didn't go to the lake. Which means, I went to the lake. He says, I was afraid. That's why you're hiding. That's why you're hiding from God. You're hiding, first of all, because you think you can get away in hiding with something you know you oughtn't to be doing. But then the other reason you continue to hide there. You know why there's some people that God's been talking to that ought to be in church today that are not in church today? They're hiding. They're afraid. They're afraid. I remember not so long ago, in the last 5 years, we had a young man that was here, grew up in church here for a period of time. We saw him out there one time at a restaurant, badly hungover. And I'm not smiling about that, sad. And he came to church 2 times. The second time he came, he actually came to the altar afterwards. He called his brother and said, bro, we need to get right with God. And I haven't seen him since. You say, why? Afraid. Fear. Listen, fear is a terrible thing. And God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you're hiding from God because you're afraid of him or what he might do or anything like that, you need to just acknowledge, okay, Lord, I'm afraid. But he's not the person to be afraid of when you're trying to get right with him. I was afraid. Why was he afraid? Because I was naked. Uh-huh. Well, then that means you ate the fruit. And they're going to deal with that later. We're not studying that today. I was naked. When you're standing before God Almighty and nothing can be hid from him, you're naked. Spiritually, there everything about you. Razor sharp eyes through the words of God. He knows the whole program. And he said, because I was afraid and because I was naked, I hid myself. And that's what you do. So if you're hiding from the voice of the Lord, why don't you just acknowledge the reason you're doing that? I'm afraid, I'm naked, and I'm hiding. I'm hiding. When you truly come before the Lord, truly come before the Lord, you tell it like it is. I was afraid, that's your emotion. I was naked, that's your condition. I hid myself, that's your reaction. And that emotion and that condition and that reaction should not be your guide. The voice of the words of the Lord God should be your guide. Get over the fear. Come out of hiding. I had a preacher one time that said, so there are times he said, when I pray before God, this is what he said. And he didn't mean it in a crude or rude sense at all. There are times when I want to get thoroughly right with God, he said, I'm not even clothed. Just lay myself prostrate before the Lord. I don't want any ornament to stand between me and God. I know he sees it all, but it gives me an impression that I know he sees it all, and I'm not trying to hide anything from him. Well, I'm not saying that you should do that, but you get the point. We put on makeup, we do the hair, we put on good clothes, and a lot of times we can use these ornaments to disguise ourselves. You come to church, how are things? Oh, bless God, everything's just lovely. And your life is an absolute torrential storm of consequences of sin. You're hiding. You know, when you're in this case before God, it's time to come out of hiding and stand before the presence of the Lord and say, I heard you, Lord, and I'm coming to you, Lord. There are things God did, but there's no reason for us to talk about what the confrontation was afterwards. If you're not going to come out of hiding, there's no reason for you to worry about what takes place next. You got to do the first thing first. So how do we bring this all to a conclusion? Please understand this. If you're hiding now, you can't hide forever. You're not really hiding from God anyway, but you can't hide forever. You need to go ahead and come out and stand in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because he has some questions for you, which is what he does next with them. He's going to go over some things with you about your life and the condition of your life. He's got some questions that he wants to ask you. There are things going on in your life that he doesn't approve of, and he wants to hear what you have to say about that. And he has some things that he wants to say. He has some things in the Word, and he has some things in preaching. He has things in your private conversation and prayer that he wants to talk to you about, that he wants you to hear. You know, the problem that we have when we're in hiding, we don't have God's perspective on anything. We have our perspective. Who wants to live in fear for the rest of their lives? Who wants to live in hiding for the rest of their lives? Who wants to live naked and pretending that you're not for the rest of your lives? Why don't you just open it up and let God go through there and examine all that and say, I don't like this and I don't like that. And why do you do this anyway? And what's going on with this right here? You say, I don't want that grilling. Well, you might as well take it now because you're going to get it later if you don't. He has something he wants you to do, but you got to come out of hiding. Now, in this case, you know what happened. They made terrible sin. And he did. He grilled them and he told them all about the curse. You know what took place here, most of you that read this. But I want to tell you something. When they got all that straightened out, listen, God made them coats of skins and clothed them. And I'm just telling you, it's better to be dressed in the robes of righteousness than it is to be stuck behind a tree hiding. And if you have to take a little inquiry and you have to take a little rebuke in the process, oh, so be it. Because what's on the end of that, what comes after that, is righteousness. It comes that coats of skin. It comes that thing that does give you something to cover the nakedness, but in a way that's pleasing to God. Come out hiding. Come out wherever you are. You're not hiding in the trees here. You say, oh my goodness. You mean you're going to, yes, I am. You knew I was going to do that. Have an altar call? Why? Do you want us to make us feel bad? No. If you, listen, very carefully, I'm going to stop here. If you can't make a move here among friends and people who understand these spiritual matters, you're never going to make a move out there. Ever. You'll stay stuck. You say, my feet feel like they are welded to the floor right now. Then he's really probably talking to you. You're going to stand up and sing, and you're going to hold that hymn book with both hands and gird yourself and say, if I can just, it's only four verses. If it's only four verses, I can hold out that long. Problem is, God already knows. He's just trying to draw you out. You say, what are you looking for? I'm just looking for you. Preachers are here to help you, looking for you and God to get face to face on matters in your life that he's trying to deal with you about, and you're going to have to come out of hiding before that can happen. The question is, what will you do?
We already know He's here. Have you heard His voice today? Me too. Well, then it's time to respond and have a conversation with God on His terms. Father, thank You today for showing us something in the Scripture that is profound in its simplicity. I know this is a nervous time. No doubt Adam was nervous when he had to step out. He said, I was afraid. And I realize that. But Father, if you're dealing with some people about their little hiding going on with You and they're trying to shut out Your voice, I am begging You, please, that they will seek the relief that comes from facing You and having the conversation and confrontation you want to have, and getting this thing to where it comes to that righteousness that covers such spiritual wickedness. Lord, I've done what I was supposed to do and delivered the message You wanted me to preach. There's a work that Your Holy Spirit wants to do. I pray You'll do that with great liberty amongst our folks. I have no expectation about what You're going to do from my perspective. I've simply accomplished that task You gave me to do, and I pray Your people will respond to what they've heard the way that that Adam did, that You want them to. And I ask You to do these things for us and for them and for Your own glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, amen.